Titus chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Paul's closing words in his letter to Pastor Titus. Now, there's a conviction that I have about preaching, and I need to tell you about it. I have grown to appreciate that a preacher and his method of preaching the Bible depends on what he believes to be true about the Bible. If a man doesn't believe that these are the words of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and preserved for the people of God, then he'll preach from the Bible in a way that reflects that. He won't be concerned about certain passages. He'll move on past them and just kind of deal with the ones that are juicy and interesting. But if a man believes, as I do, that not only is every word inspired by the living God, but indeed every letter form. You know that Jesus said, not one jot or tittle of the law will pass away until all is fulfilled. Jots and tittles are letter forms. That's the extent to which I believe the authority of the Scriptures extends. And so that means there's nothing in the Bible that's unimportant. Every word, every passage has something to teach us and is there protected and preserved by the Holy Spirit for God's people in Christ to inform them and encourage them and edify them. And this passage is one of them. We don't ever pass by something like this. It's personal greetings at the end. But I have found that when you dig into those a little deeper, you find that those are some of the richest sources of spiritual truth. Now, this passage comes at the end of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Pastor Titus. Titus was a pastor over a whole series of churches on the island of Crete. He was responsible for them. And in this letter, Paul teaches Titus, and by our being able to listen in, teaches us some significant truths about church life. Things that we need to know about church life and Bethany Bible Church and its usefulness to God. Some of the most significant truths about church life is found in this little book. By the way, we started our study of Titus, in January, the start of the new year. And throughout all of that time, I hope you've grown to appreciate the principles that Paul emphasized regarding the life of the church, the life of this local church. He says, chapter 1, that it's very important that Titus make sure that each church, each individual church in his responsibility, each one is pastored by good, strong, godly, biblically qualified leadership. He says in verse 9 of chapter 1 that they are to be men holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Well, here's a lesson for us, Bethany Bible Church and the churches that we pray for and that surround our area, and we love our brother and sister churches in the area. Each one needs a good, strong, godly man leading the church in biblical truth. Because that makes the church strong. That helps the church know what God wants it to do. Then the second thing, in chapter 2, he teaches how every individual, and this is where it gets really touchy, every individual in the church, old men, older women, younger men, younger women, the pastor himself, those who serve in a master-servant relationship, in an employee-employer relationship, everybody in the church is to live out good, sound doctrine in their personal life. It's not to be a church where you just come and you hear on Sunday morning and then you walk away and go, what was that all about? It's something that you take that biblical truth that those biblical leaders teach and support and you apply it to your personal life at home. It says in chapter 10 that we are to be a people who adorn the doctrine of our Savior in all things. One of the greatest problems in our witness to the world as a church today is that we say one thing and we do another. We live one way at home and we talk another way at church, and they're not together. We're to take what God says in His Word and live it personally. And then the third thing is that we're to be people who are characterized by impacting the community around us with good works. Those three things have to work in order. Godly leaders need to be in place. Each individual needs to live a godly life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And then we impact the world around us by good works. It says in chapter 2, verse 14, about the Lord Jesus who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Says, remind them, chapter 3, verse 1, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And we impact the community around us with the gospel by following the impulse of the Lord Jesus Christ and doing good to those around us. Always proclaiming the message of the gospel. Then we come to this closing section. And it's not as if Paul says, okay, I'm done talking about all of those other things now. I just want to send some greetings. The greetings that you find at the end of the book are in the context of all the things that Paul has labored to teach Titus, to teach the people. And you might put it this way. Those words of greeting at the end put practical application and give us a practical example of the church as Paul had been describing it in the previous verses. It's a very important thing. I like to look at these closing verses this way. I like to look at them as a photo album. How many of you have photo albums at home? Only a few of you. That's sad. I don't believe you. Come on, you all have. Okay, we even have some downstairs. And you know what I've learned? Photo albums are really getting cool now, because if you're savvy, you also have Facebook and Flickr, and you are able to put whole photo albums of whole events on the internet, and all your friends all around the world can instantly see what's going on. Photo albums are very, very cool. Paul is giving us a photo album here. It's filled with snapshots. And those snapshots give you evidence of what the church looks like in action. These are snapshots of healthy church life. And that's how I propose we look at them. Now, how do I organize that? I don't. I just say, hey, let's walk through this passage and look at photo after photo together. That's why you don't have an outline. That's my way out. You don't have an outline today because we're just going to look at some snapshots today. But they're pictures, you see, of church life in action that reflect something of the ways that Paul has taught church life should be conducted. So let's look at the first snapshot. You find that in verse 12. And here's what Paul says. When I send Artemis to you, and again he's talking to Titus, pastor supervising a whole lot of churches on an island. When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. So here's Paul giving a little information, a little bit of instructions for what to do. We come across this fellow named Artemis. Do you know what we know about Artemis? Look at verse 12. And you're looking at all we know about Artemis. This is why Bible study can be frustrating sometimes. But you know, the only place in the Bible we know anything about Artemis is right here. But I believe we can know a whole lot about him, because we're told Paul couldn't decide which of these two guys to send. When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, don't know which yet, when one of them shows up, wants you to leave and come meet me in Nicopolis. So Paul had a tough decision. Which one should I send, Artemis or Tychicus? We don't know anything about Artemis. We happen to know a whole lot about Tychicus. And so we thus know a whole lot about Artemis, don't we? Because he's associated with Tychicus. Now let me introduce Tychicus to you. Go in your Bible backward to Acts chapter 20. And the first mention that we find of this wonderful man, Tychicus, that Paul so trusted. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is in the midst of one of his missionary journeys. The writer Luke is recording his history for us and talks about his various missionary journeys and his work. And at a certain point, Paul needed to move on from Macedonia and into Greece. And he decided to return through Macedonia. And in verse 4 of chapter 20, he names some of the people who became associated with him at key points in his ministry. In Paul's missionary journeys, at key points, someone became associated with his missionary endeavors and he took them with him. And we read in chapter 20, verse 4, as he was planning to return through Macedonia, and Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. You recognize some of the names of these places. And also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia, Asia Minor. So here's one thing that we learn about this man, Tychicus. Paul valued his character and his Christian life so much. He said, Tychicus, I want you to be in my circle. I want you to help me in my ministry. And so Tychicus became a close associate. And just to show you how much Paul thought of this man, I want you to now turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And follow along with this carefully. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 through 22, the Apostle Paul is in prison. This is about 5 years later. He's in prison at this point, and the people in Asia Minor are concerned about him. And he wanted to assure them of how he was. So it says in chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, but that you may also know how, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Paul trusted Tychicus to come and comfort the people that he couldn't come and talk to and he loved and cared about. And I'm just amazed at the things that Paul says. My beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord. Let me ask you something. If you had your name in the Bible and somebody described you, wouldn't you love for that to be the description, forever recorded in the pages of Scripture? A beloved brother and faithful minister. Well, guess what? Tychicus had that said of him, not just once in the Bible, but twice. Go to Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, listen to this carefully. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Those are remarkable things to have said about you. And I want you to notice too, at the very end, verse 9, he says, Onesimus, a faithful brother, will also be coming. Do you know who Onesimus is? Onesimus was an escaped slave from Colossae who became a Christian. Paul led him to Jesus Christ in prison. And Tychicus is bringing Onesimus back to Colossae with him as a partner in communicating how he's doing. Onesimus is the subject of the letter of Philemon. And are you ready for this? This is how important that man Tychicus is to you. The greatest likelihood is that Tychicus bore those letters that contained the description of him. That means you owe Tychicus a thanks for three New Testament letters that you have in your Bible: Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. What a man that Paul trusted. Now here's my point. You don't know much about Artemis, do you? Oh, you actually do know very much about Artemis. He's associated with Tychicus, and you know Tychicus real well. And here's Paul's dilemma. Titus, I'm not sure which of them will come. Artemis or Tychicus? Which is the best? The answer is yes. When they come, I want you to leave and come to me. You know what Paul was saying? I've got two reliable, godly leaders that can come and step in and take your place. When they come, you can safely go. Now, Titus, I trust him. I want you to trust him too. You know, this whole letter has been about Titus taking care of the church and keeping the charge that Paul gave him of setting everything in order and pointing good leaders and protecting those churches. And he says, now when they come, you're free to come to be with me. Here's the lesson. Here's good church life. Here's a snapshot of church life. God raises up different people. You know who's in charge of Bethany Bible Church? Do you know who's in charge of the church around the world? The body of Christ at large? Jesus Christ. It's His church. There's not one guy who's in charge of it. And the Lord Jesus, except the Lord Jesus, of course, and the Lord Jesus raises up many workers and servants in His church. He equips them. He prepares them. When they're biblically qualified, they're godly men, spiritually strong, able to lead, we're to trust them. And let God put them where He wants them to be. There may come a day when I can't be at this church any longer. And if that should ever happen, I have confidence that God will bring another man who will lead this church biblically. That's what I'm praying for. I'm not praying that I go, by the way. This is no announcement. But I'm praying that the man that God brings here will be a man of God leading this church biblically. We want to put the rail is going to be put out here soon, and we want to put that little thing up that says, it's got a Bible on it, on the handrail outside that says, "We proclaim Him." Should there ever be an ungodly man leading this church, he's got to explain that. Right? Because we want this church to be biblical. And that's what we're praying for. And God will raise up someone. And when that time comes and it's time for me to go, I can safely do so. Now, there have been people who won't do that, won't accept that. There have been high controllers, haven't there, in churches. The Apostle John wrote these words in John chapter, in 3 John. Let me just read this to you. The Apostle John was dealing with a high controller. He said, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. And he says at the end, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. He who does evil has not seen God. You know what? One of the ways that a church is healthy and strong is that it recognizes the ministries of others and submits to them. May God make us a good, healthy, strong church that recognizes the ministry of others that God leads up and equips for ministry. That's a snapshot of our church. Here's another one, same verse. Verse 12, Paul says, When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, Titus, you be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Why did he want Titus there? Personally, I don't believe it was because he needed Titus's help. The city, Nicopolis, probably on the western shore of Greece, it's, by the way, its name means victory city. I like that. Nicopolis was where Paul decided to spend the winter. In those days, you didn't travel during the winter. It was too dangerous. He traveled by boat. It was too dangerous. Paul had already done that. He didn't want to do that again, right? And so he stayed there at Nicopolis during the winter. Ministry is somewhat put on hold for a little while. Hey, Titus, when Artemis and Tychicus come, I want you to come to me. I want you to stay with me while I'm wintering in Nicopolis. You know what I believe? I believe Paul just loved Titus and just wanted the fellowship and companionship of his dear brother in the Lord. That's another snapshot of church life. I saw a picture of this in a remarkable way a few years ago. I attended the Billy Graham School of Evangelism in Denver, Colorado. One of my heroes, Cliff Barrows, I got to meet him. I got a picture somewhere. Old Dr. Barrows was the first voice I heard when I came to Jesus Christ. I told him that. I said, I love your voice, because it was the first voice I heard when I was a brand new baby in Christ. Well, he told a story as he had our group all together. Reverend Barrows was saying that earlier, the night before, Dr. Billy Graham called him. At this point, Dr. Barrows is in his late 70s. Billy Graham is in his early 80s. And they've been through lots of experiences of ministry together. And they're slowing down, obviously. And Cliff said, Billy called me last night. And I said, well, what do you need, Billy? And he goes, oh, Cliff, I didn't have anything I needed. I just wanted to call and tell you I love you. That's what everybody did. They all went, You know what? That's an example, isn't it? The people in church love each other. Good, healthy church life. The leaders love each other. There's no competition between them. There's no distance between them. They love to be with each other. I love looking out the church parking lot and seeing cars left there empty. Do you know what that means to me after church? It means people got together for lunch. And I always say, don't forget the pastor. But anyway, away they go. And because I see all the cars. But you know, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. We love each other. We want to be with each other. You know what? We have bender fenders with each other, don't we? Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. I call it spiritual bad breath. You know, sometimes we get on each other's nerves a little bit. But we love each other. And we're going to work our way through it because we care about each other. That's good church life. Paul wanted Titus with him. May God help us to be that kind of a church too. Well, we move on. Verse 13. He says, send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And here's another situation. Well, we don't know anything about Zenas, but we know an awful lot about Apollos. Apollos was a Jew. Get this, he was a Jewish man. It tells us in the book of Acts chapter 19, he was a Jewish man born in Alexandria. Alexandria was the intellectual capital of the world. The great famous library of Alexandria. And he was a brilliant man. You know what he was doing? He was going on lecture circuits to all of the synagogues, preaching Jesus Christ without even knowing him. All he knew was something about the ministry of John the Baptist. But he was accurately opening the scriptures and preaching about Jesus Christ. Didn't even know him yet. A couple of Christians found him, pulled him aside, and explained the way of salvation to him more fully. And I believe at that point, Apollos became a Christian. Can you imagine speaking and teaching about Jesus Christ, not even knowing him, and then somebody teaches you about him and you believe on him? And the Bible tells us that he preached Christ powerfully. He was a powerhouse in the early church. Just to show you how important he was, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church early on. He said, there's a problem I hear, and I believe it, that you guys are divided, because some of you say, I'm of Paul, or somebody says, I'm of Apollos, or somebody says, I'm of Peter, or I'm of Jesus. That's what stature Apollos had. And Paul said, listen, I'm nothing. Apollos is nothing. We work together. I plant, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. That's the partnership Paul felt with Apollos. No competition there. And here's what Paul says. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey. Now again, we don't know anything about Zenas, but we know an awful lot about Apollos. So Zenas must be a pretty remarkable man too. He's traveling with Apollos. And it may be that Apollos and Zenas brought this letter to Titus. Somebody at the men's coffee time yesterday said Zenas the lawyer brought the letter, and lawyers have been bringing letters ever since. But in this case, it was a good letter. And here's what Paul says. Zenas and Apollos have something that they're working on. They're coming to visit you for a while. There they are. Perhaps they were helping Titus with the work that he was doing. When their time there is done, Titus, I want you to do everything you can to help equip them for their ministry. Whatever they need, you provide it. And you be diligent about it. Why? Well, because I love Apollos and I love Zenas, and I stand by their ministry. Here's another picture of church life. In God's household, we're not proprietorial, but we support one another's ministry. You might minister in one way. I might minister to another. I have learned that there have been people that God have brought into our church family that have a unique ability to talk to people who won't even look at me. And I can't do what they do. You can't do what someone else does. But we are working together under a common master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give each other what we need to support one another's ministry. That's a picture of church life. Now here's another picture. Paul didn't want Titus to do that all on his own. He said in verse 14, and let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Paul said, Titus, I don't want you to do this all by yourself. I need to give you a little insider scoop here on church life. That's always a battle church leaders fight. There's not only the fact that they sometimes are inclined to try to do everything. Very often the rest of the church family is inclined to stand by and let them. There's that old principle of, in a typical church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and 80% of the people do 20% of the work. What I hope for is 50% of the people do 50% of the work, and the other 50% of the people do the other 50% of the work. Wouldn't that be good? Everybody has a job. Everybody is needed. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, in one of the most wonderful pictures you could ever find of church fruitfulness. He says that God gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, Ephesians 4:12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That the saints do the work for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning of craftiness or deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When you got a situation where the church leadership does it all, you got a church that is shrinking and shriveling. But if you got a church where the leadership willingly gives the work over and informs the church body of what needs to be done, and the church body at large rises up and meets pressing needs, that's a church that's fruitful. That's a church that will grow. I praise God for this church. More and more and more of the body at large is stepping into the role of ministry. Not even waiting to be asked. Seeing the need and rising up and meeting it. That's what we need. And that church will grow. That's a picture of church life. Because Jesus saved us to make us a people who are zealous for good works. Now, a couple more snapshots and we're done. Verse 15, all who are with me greet you. You know what that word you is? That's singular. He's talking to Titus. And I think of what an encouragement that must have been to Titus. All who are with me, Titus, all my colleagues, all of those who are helping in my ministry here with me, they know about you. They greet you. What an encouragement that must have been to Titus. Picture of church life. Turn to those that you see involved in ministry and say thank you to them. Encourage them. A note, phone call, an email, all of the technology. But you know what's best always still is a face-to-face. Hey, I just want you to know I appreciate what you do. Greet them. And then he says, greet those who love us in the faith. Titus, you've got a whole lot of people there. You know, I'll bet what he meant was there's some people that didn't love him. There's some people that didn't care much for Paul. Well, those who love us in the faith, hey, greet them for me. I love them too. And isn't that a wonderful part of church life too, is passing on that love? And here's perhaps the greatest snapshot of all, the very end. Grace be with you all. Amen. When you look around you and you see the fallible people that we are, how is it that the church can continue to exist all these 2,000 years? I got a good answer. Grace. And you know what that means? God's favor. Free of charge. What a wonderful thing to characterize a church. Because if we receive that grace, we're going to spread it out and live it. These are snapshots of the church. Great way to close this letter. Let's pray together, and then we'll be dismissed. Go downstairs and have some refreshments. Let's stand, if you would. We've just spent 9 months studying God's plan for our church. I'm going to pray and ask that we would live it. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this marvelous book of Titus. And thank you for what we've learned from it. Now, Father, we have been given some great and glorious information from the Word of Truth. But it's not information that we're to let sit in our heads or just lay idly by, but we are to rise up and apply it. And I pray for Bethany Bible Church, every person in this room, many of whom are away on vacation from our church right now for the holiday. Many who are here, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, every man, woman, young person, that each one will know and believe on Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and be able to participate in that great blessing of grace that Paul gave at the end. And then that we would rise up to be a church that you are pleased to use. Make us strong doctrinally and biblically. Make us obedient people who apply to our lives sound biblical doctrine. And then make us good, faithful ambassadors for Jesus Christ to this world, always holding up faithfully the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus. Bless Bethany Bible Church. In Jesus' name, amen.